Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to a man who didn't let being named one of the 100 most important radio talk show hosts in America go to his head.
Woo! Woo! Yes! In your face!
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for joining me today. Thanks for hanging around with me. If you're just tuned in, welcome aboard. And if you've been listening, you know what that makes you, a highly intelligent person. And those of you who just tuned in, look what you got to look forward to. Just a few minutes to listen to this show and your IQ goes up 10, 11 points at least. Somebody who's still working on his IQ and started out with a pretty high one anyway is our good friend Rich Galen, the author, the publisher, the editor, the accountant, the chief, the janitor of Mullings.com. Well, maybe that's not true. I think he's brought on somebody recently who might help him with some of those chores. But he's our good friend Rich Galen. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim. It's nice to be with you. The new company is called Barrington Worldwide, LLC, I'll have you know. And it's my son and I. But Mullings isn't part of that. This is a whole new thing.
Right, right. Well, where did Barrington come from? Is that some kind of an elitist name you thought would sound good?
Yeah. No, we've had a family house in Great Barrington, Massachusetts for decades, which is for your listeners in the Northeast, they know that in the Berkshire section.
Yeah.
And I wanted to call it something like Hathaway Barrington, but my son thought we'd get sued. So.
A little pretentious, huh? Rich, let's get into the politics right away. And by the way, folks, in the interest of full disclosure, as I said earlier in the hour, Rich is of the Republican persuasion. Rich, when I look down the list of challenges that Mr. Bush has these days, it's pretty scary. He's got trouble on the left, trouble on the right with Harriet Myers. Tom DeLay's been indicted how many times? Two, three times. Karl Rove has been interviewed by a grand jury, possibly could be indicted. Abramoff, I hear about this. I'm not sure I understand that deal. And then we got all the other things going on around the world. Is this turning into Mr. Bush's annus horribilis?
Well, it is not a good week. I mean, this has been tough. The column I wrote this morning had a list of things that have gone wrong. You left out two hurricanes, an earthquake, and a mudslide. And then I ended it with Boy George getting arrested. But just to throw that in, and I said the Boy George I'm talking about is not H.W., W., or P. It's this guy from London, the former Culture Club singer. But it is a tough time. I mean, anybody who thinks it's not is trying to avoid the realities of it. That's the bad news. I mean, the good news is that almost none of the things that you've talked about actually roll up directly to the president, number one. And number two, I mean, Rove is not going to be indicted. That would be a shocker down here.
Is that official, right?
It's official to the point that even with the, and he wasn't subpoenaed back to the grand jury. He was asked to come back, and he has been amongst the most, you know, according to people who are supposed to know about this stuff, Karl Rove has been amongst the most cooperative of White House people, because he doesn't think he's got anything to hide. And this last time comes with after the Judith Miller testimony from the New York Times woman, and the Justice Department was careful to point out, or maybe it was Rove's lawyer was careful to point out Thursday afternoon, when all this came to light that he was going to go back to the grand jury, that no targeting letter is attached to this. And that's the magic word. If you don't have a targeting letter, the chances are pretty good that they're not thinking about indicting.
Well, the Democrats, of course, are taking this laundry list and calling it a scandal-ridden culture, what's the word that they use? A culture of something or other. I've forgotten. A den of iniquity, I think, is what my grandmother probably would have called it. But is the Democrats are having a lot of fun with this, though, aren't they?
Well, they are, and rightfully so. I mean, if everything were the other way around, we should be having fun with it. The other part of it, two other things now, is that one, if you're going to have this kind of a cycle, it's great to have it in October of the off year, not October
right.
of the on year.
Right.
And that's number one. Number two is that, you know, I did one of the shows, I guess Friday afternoon, I was on with your friend Paul Begala
yeah, right.
On CNN. And And we were talking about this, and I said, you know, you gotta. Everybody's talking about 1994, and when you know everybody pointed out what kind of shape the Democrats in the House were in 1994, and the president was in deep trouble in 1994. I said, but that's only half of the equation. The other half of the equation, and the genius, whether you like him or not, the genius of Newt Gingrich was saying, okay, that's what these guys are. Here is what we will do if you give us a chance. And he came up with a contract for America.
An idea.
Yeah, which nobody can remember what's in it, but everybody knew at the time that at least here was an alternative program that the Republicans were laying out. The Democrats have nothing like that. And because I wrote a column a couple of weeks ago, the title of it was Get Newt, and the idea was that the Democrats would actually hire Newt because they need a leader, and Howard Dean and Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid.
I'd pay money to sit in on that conference. Stand by, Rich. Quick break. Right back after these messages. More to come. We're going to talk about the Supreme Court nominee, Harriet Myers, right after these messages. 20 Tales, stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's 17 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate, and Rich Galen is our guest and our good friend. He is the publisher of the thrice-weekly cyber column, Mullings.com. So, Rich, I don't have to ask you to give us the website because the name is the website.
It is Mullings.com.
It's Mullings.com. And folks, it's a Republican-oriented publication. If you're not of the Republican persuasion, you might want to tune in just to see what Rich is up to. So I encourage you to go there and do that. And Rich, let's talk about Harriet Myers a little bit.
Yeah.
She's the nominee for Associate Justice. Has zero experience on the bench. She has a pretty accomplished and noteworthy career as an attorney. Mm-hmm. I mean, being the legal counsel to the president is no slouch job. She has been a trailblazer as a female in the marketplace as well as in the legal world. But she has zero experience on the bench and has never argued before the court.
All of which I think is a great thing for her. In her favor. I said to somebody last night at some silly function I had to go to that if it were up to me and I were writing the Constitution, you'd have to have not only a lawyer that had never been a judge and never practiced before the Supreme Court, but you'd also have to have at least one justice who was a worker on an assembly line, at least one worker who ran a hardware store in a small town. I mean, one owner of a hardware store in a small town. I think that at long last, the president has hit upon something that probably is maybe the most important change in court thinking, you know, in hundreds of years, which is to say, let's get somebody who's actually lived in a place like Dallas, who has actually went to SMU and not Harvard and not Stanford, who actually rose to the level of being the head of a fairly large law firm in Dallas as a woman at a time when women in Texas didn't do that sort of thing, if you know what I mean, and then became head of the Texas Bar Association. I mean, this is a woman who, and there's a great summary of her service on the Dallas City Council, where I used to hang out a good bit. I lived in Dallas for a while. And this place is a snake pit. I mean, one time, this is a great story. In Dallas, the City Hall, which was designed by I.M. Pei, it looks like it's upside down. I mean, it's just a weird building. And it's located on a street called Marilla Street. And one time, two city councilmen literally got in a fist fight. They got into sort of knocked down, dragged out fist fight. And the Dallas Morning News had the headline, Thrilla on Marilla. That's where she was a city councilman. So it's not only everything else, but she actually represented people as an elected official in a very difficult thing. And the Dallas Morning News wrote a summary. It was only one two-year term. Of all the things that she accomplished, the point to all this, Jim, is to say that anybody who has worked with her, for her, or around her, has opponents and supporters, has nothing but great things to say about her.
Am I correct in saying that the late Chief Justice Rehnquist was also not a judge before he was appointed?
That's right. He was not a judge.
And if I'm not mistaken, Sandra Day O'Connor, the ink wasn't all that dry on her judgeship.
Yeah, that's right. She hadn't been there that long. And that's one of the problems that they had with John Roberts, is that he hadn't been a judge long enough, some Democrats said, to provide a long enough paper trail for them to see. So I think there is and I wrote about this the other day. I said this is a lot of this has to do with intellectual snobbery and cultural superiority.
Of this intellectual snobbery is coming from the right, from the Republicans.
That's what I was going to say. That in Washington, that's the ticket of admission.
Well, don't a lot of people think that that's like a contradiction in terms?
No, not you get around the movement conservatives, and I was at the 50th anniversary dinner for the National Review the other night, which is Bill Buckley's magazine.
Right.
And that is the home of intellectual snobbery. That was ground zero for intellectual snobbery.
What are the chances, Rich? And be honest with us now. We know you're in on all the high level meetings in the Republican Party. You get all the dope. So be honest with us now. The Republicans are really kind of baiting the Democrats, right? With her, I mean, this is just all this is an act, right? The Republicans acting like they're going to vote against her. This is just to bait the Democrats, right?
I don't know that that's the case. I think Sam Brownback Kansas may in fact vote against her because he's adamant about wanting somebody who will say that they're going to vote to overturn Roe v. Wade. But here's what's happened. The president has taken from the hard right and the hard left taken away the fight that both sides were looking for. Both sides wanted the Battle of Stalingrad over this nomination, mostly so they could raise money and energize their bases. And the president said, oh, yeah? Well, how about this? What if I appoint somebody I really think will be good and not somebody who will do one side or the other a favor politically? And that's what he's done. And I think so. I said originally she'd get 72 votes. I'll drop that back. I'll say she'll get 68 to 60.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think this is because
the Democrats are going to. Of course, they're scared of her too, aren't they?
Well, I mean, if you don't have, the Democrats can say we don't have anything to go on, but again, there's a lot of people in this country who vote for Senate that have never been a judge, and frankly, when they have to do anything with judges, it's not a very good thing. Saying that somebody isn't a judge is not necessarily a bad thing for most Americans.
Well, remind me, what's the justice's name that Sununu recommended that turned a bad on the Republicans?
David Souter.
Souter, yeah.
Yeah.
I hope she doesn't turn into another Souter.
Well, but that's a good point, and the fact is that President H.W. Bush did not know David Souter.
Yeah.
George H. Bush does know Harriet Myers, and he's
right. Yeah, that is the good news on that part of it. He does know her, and of course, he gets to select the person he wants. That's one of the perks, one of the really cool perks of being president. In fact, maybe one of the top perks.
Of being
president. Hold on to that thought, Rich. We've got to take a quick break. We come back. We're going to ask Rich about the Iraqi Constitution that's going to be voted on this week. What does he think about the possibility of passage, and how important that is to, in some ways, the world? Tintel, stay with us. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Lassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Rich Galen is here, too, by the way. And Rich is a good friend of ours, longtime member of our Brain Trust, and he's already been a small business owner, but he just formed another company. Just couldn't get enough of it, could you, Rich?
And now I'm a kind of tycoon. I'm just rolling.
It's called serial entrepreneur.
Yeah, my son and I were laughing about the fact that I've gone from one person to two people, so that we're the fastest, one of the fastest growing companies in America.
Oh, Inc. will pick up on that right away. Hey, Rich, let's talk about the Iraq Constitution.
Yeah,
it's going to be voted on the 15th.
Right.
Is it going to pass?
I think it will. Yes, now it will. I think with all the
what do you mean now it will? What does that mean?
Well, they've had to tinker with it right up to the end, and they are tinkering with it. I was at Fox on Saturday, and a former ambassador named Mark Grossman, who's a very smart guy, was complaining about the fact that he's a Democrat, that they have to, that they're still dealing with it, and they're still, they don't have it settled. And I said, that's the idea. That's what's supposed to happen.
That's democracy, isn't it?
Talk about this stuff, not shoot each other over it.
That's democracy.
It is working.
Yeah. Yeah, I was telling somebody the other day that the most beautiful thing I ever heard come out of Iraq about 4 or 5 months ago was some Sunnis said, "We're going to sue you Shiites over this." And I thought, I've never heard anybody, I've never been so proud to hear somebody say they were going to sue somebody.
That's right. He said when the, in his mind, he said when the prime minister, who's a Sunni, wanted the president to resign, the president
right.
was a Kurd. He said that's when I knew this was over. I said, really? Did you think the same thing when Nancy Pelosi said that she wanted Tom DeLay to resign? I mean,
right.
And he just looked at me. He hadn't thought of that.
Well, did you remind him about the Hamilton-Burr duel? You know, our history hasn't been. You know, folks, that wasn't over. That wasn't over some a football game that they had that duel.
It was over
politics.
Vice President of the United States.
It was over politics.
The you know, and we've talked about this before, but you know, we declared our independence in 1776, didn't get a fully functioning constitution until 1791, and that included one entire false start when we had the Articles of Confederation, which was such a disaster they had to just throw them out and start again. And even when we did finish the Constitution, it required 10 amendments instantly to
right.
get it right. So,
well, I remind people that democracy is not a chia pet. You don't just add water and get it.
That's exactly right. So, you know, it is inching forward. It's still ugly. It's still heartbreaking. But, you know, it's going generally in the right direction. History
but
does not
isn't this kind
long.
Of isn't this kind of forging? Isn't this good for the people? Doesn't this, you know, whenever you earn something, whenever something is earned with literally blood and sweat and tears and concessions and, you know, victories and defeats, whenever that's democracy is forged like that democracy is being and like ours was, isn't that good for the people?
Yeah, and it means so much more because it is not an American, America is not saying, here's what your constitution is going to look like, vote on this. This is a constitution that they have been working on for over a year, and if you include the transitional administrative law, which is kind of the proto-constitution, and I was there when they were working on that. I mean, this has been going on for almost 2.5 years, so they've
right.
worked on this very hard.
What do you think is... Now, what happens? They got to have three regions, three of their
provinces
have to vote no, two-thirds majority no in three of what, 16 or 17 provinces?
15 provinces. Oh, 15
provinces. So three of them vote no,
right.
supermajority, they, two-thirds majority, then the Constitution has to be redone.
Right, and the big argument was the Sunnis, because these guys have been haggling and negotiating for, you know, thousands of years. They decided that meant that two-thirds of the population had to vote no. And the Shiites said, no way, hold it. That's not what it says at all.
The people who show up.
But it doesn't, you know, one of the things that the Sunnis tried to do in the elections of last January was they tried to minimize its legitimacy by urging people to stay away.
Mm-hmm.
And when, you know, when 60-something, about the same percentage of Iraqis voted in their election as voted in our election, it was legitimate. And the Sunnis learned a very powerful lesson that just saying that they're not going to participate does not make it illegitimate. So they did a good job. I mean, they fought for what they wanted, and they got it in for the most part in terms of what it would take to overturn this thing. But right now, as we're speaking, it doesn't look like they're going to be able to mount anything like that kind of opposition,
well,
nor are they terribly interested in doing
it. The world needs, and I don't think this is an overstatement, the world needs that Constitution to pass.
Yep, I think that's right. And it doesn't, again, there's no advantage to anarchy. Everybody wants.
That's exactly right. Hey, Rich, thanks for being here. Good job today.
Thank you, my friend.
See you next time. Rich Galen, ladies and gentlemen. Don't forget to check out his website and his publication, Mullings.com. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame. I'll be right back. Don't go away.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.